Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to the Transformative Taskmaster Podcast, the podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. This week we've got Taskmaster Statsman Jack Bernhardt on the show, talking about stats, spreadsheets, and general pedantry. It's a long one this week, so settle in.
Welcome, Jack Bernhardt, to the Transformative Taskmaster Podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. This is very nice.
I'm so excited to have you on. So, I'm gonna start with we've been posting on Blue Sky, and we posted. I'm not in charge of the socials, so so I just get the social. The social media people come to me and they're like, okay, here's what we posted and this is a funny meme or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I got tagged and they were like, Jack Bernhardt like commented on one of our posts. And I was like, what? Excuse me?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, what? And so it was after our very first episode went out. We posted a post that said, we've got the stats that Jack would never touch. We're talking the fanfic stats. And you replied, thank you for investigating this filth. I will never go down that rabbit hole.
No. It's been suggested, and I never will.
Yeah.
I've made it very clear to everyone that I am a... I'm aware of it. It's out there. They've talked about it on the show. They sometimes refer to it. I will never go anywhere near it. I want nothing to do with it. Yeah. So have you done the deep dive stats? Do you have facts and stats about the fanfic?
Oh yes. Yeah. We've had a couple episodes where it's fanfic stats and then the history of Taskmaster fanfic and all that kind of stuff. And then when we had Alex on, my first question was, can we talk about fanfic? And he went, finally. And I was like, okay, all right, here we go.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Wait, so I not to derail it immediately, but how quickly after the first episode was there fanfic? Like how what's the gap there?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. I think there was like one... There was one author basically that kind of carried the fanfic for a while, and it was pretty much just them for I think 8 months, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Wow, that's good dedication.
Yeah, but I don't remember off the top of my head. My guest assistant will look this up and get back to us. But I mean, there's let me check how many. It's up to.
First one was according to Morgan was November 2015. So that would be what, a matter of months after the show went out on Dave.
Yeah,
that's remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow. Actually, I suppose it's not that remarkable because then they say like, you know, put anything out there and there'll be a fanfic version almost immediately afterwards.
There's currently 1,743 works. In
1,700
in just Greg Alex. That's not even Taskmaster. I'm pretty sure there's well over 2,000 in the Taskmaster.
The problem is, the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, well, I could investigate those stats. Sure, I could definitely. Like, are you going to be better at the show if you have lots of fanfic made about you? Gosh, I mean, yeah. Okay, we shouldn't. You know what? I said before that I will never investigate that filth, and I stand by it. I appreciate the work that you are doing, but I cannot be a part of it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's real. That's what our job is for.
Love it.
Yes. So. Let's talk about your journey from becoming a Taskmaster fan, and it's not like you're not a Taskmaster fan anymore, but let's talk about your journey from becoming a Taskmaster fan to official podcaster and now co-author with Alex Horn.
I mean, it's a strange thing. I basically I hadn't watched a lot of Taskmaster. This sounds mad saying it out loud. before lockdown. So that's not true. In 2019, I'd sort of, because I knew Taskmaster existing. I had a friend who watched quite a lot of it. And I was like, that sounds like fun, but it's a panel show and I don't watch very, I often don't like have time to watch panel shows. I don't want to get invested in panel shows. And like often you sort of, the thing of it being like, you see one panel show and unless it's really, really good, you sort of, you know, it's like, I'm not a huge panel show guy. And then in about 2019, I remember Ed was on it and I knew Ed from Edinburgh. Like one of my close friends, Tom Neenan, is like knows him very well as well. And I sort of watched a bit of it and I was like, this is not bad. And then I watched another and another and another. And then like, I remember I started like saying, oh God, you could have this set of people. God, wouldn't they be great? And Ed was online being like, you know, I'm right here. And the show that I'm currently in is going out at the moment. You don't have to make up new casts while I'm doing the show. So I got really into it. And then in 2020, a fun little thing happened. I'm sure you remember. Yeah. Where we all had to stay indoors for a bit. And I was just, I think like work had dried up and I'd done quite a lot of Guardian articles because I write quite a lot of, like, well, I used to write quite a lot of Guardian articles where I basically torture myself by watching bad TV. It was like, actually that's unfair. I did one which was basically, I tried to watch all of Bones in a week. And I would recommend it because Bones is great. It's a really, really good show. But I got a bit obsessed with it. And then later on, it was like, watch a week of Channel 5. And then it was watch a week of nothing but New Simpsons. And steadily, I was getting a bit like it was becoming, there was diminishing returns. And I ended up just sort of deciding that I was going to, because I've been watching quite a lot of Taskmaster and really getting into it. And I decided I'm going to write as much about Taskmaster as I possibly can because I really enjoy it. And I don't want to think about, at the time, like Brexit was happening and like the pandemic was awful and like just everything felt like it was all imploding in itself. So it was, I think like a lot of people, it was, it's an escape. So I ended up asking my followers on Twitter to sort of, back when it was Twitter, to like rank their favorite moments in the show. And I came up with a list of, I think it's something stupid, like 124 of the best moments in Taskmaster. Morgan's jumped in. It is 124. the best moments in Taskmaster. And it was mostly just the sort of thing to be like, because I didn't have a huge amount of like work on. But I just really, and it felt like it was not a block, but it was kind of like, I like writing out this thing. I will just write. And I ended up doing it and it got, you know, some people quite liked it, which is quite nice. And then off the back of that, the Guardian said, do you want to turn that into a Guardian article? A much shorter, please, because this version was far too long. So I did, and then and I think this is a really like a real credit to the show. Like if they get like nice press or they find people who are interested in the show, they don't just kind of go like, oh, that's nice, thanks for doing that. They're quite proactive. Mm-hmm. So they weren't expecting this, you know, because I think often what happens with like press in shows is, you know, you'll have to work quite hard to get but you have to like approach the Guardian and sort of say, oh, you know, can you do an article about our show? These things happening organically, thanks to an idiot like me being like, I want to write about Taskmaster, is quite rare. And I think or at least it was back in 2020. I think feel like the show's grown and grown and grown to the point where like now quite a lot of, you know, it's become a sort of cultural obsession for quite a lot of people. But they you know, really liked the article and then said, do you want to do an interview with Alex? And then off the back of that, I did this interview with Alex where he set me some tasks for me. It was kind of to promote series 11 starting. So this is how long ago it is. This is series 11. And that was so much fun interviewing Alex while I showed him my terrible task attempts. I think they were quite similar to a lot of the lockdown tasks that he had done. And I think initially they said, oh, we could pair you up with someone and we could sort of, you know, do tasks against you and you can have a competition. And it was lockdown, so we couldn't find anyone. And my wife was quite heavily pregnant at the time. And I think we decided that it just wasn't a good idea for us to compete in Taskmaster in this version of Taskmaster. But we, you know, after that, the interview happened, and then the Taskmasters podcast approached me and said, do you want to come on the podcast to discuss the show with Ed? And Ed on the show, I think he called me the first time. He's like, oh, you're a Taskmaster super fan or expert. And I was thrown by this because I didn't feel like a super fan or expert, because the thing that usually happened, and it still happens now, is I will say something online, or I'll like do a stat online and say, did you know this is actually the seventh time that Alex has sworn in episode 5 of the series? And immediately people will be like, that's not true at all. And there are like thousands of people who have like been categorizing this for so long. So the fact that Ed was just kind of saying, you're a super fan, and I was like, I'm not a super fan. I can't be a super fan. I don't have the information. So then after I did the podcast with Ed, I started the spreadsheet. And then the spreadsheet has been growing and growing and growing, to the point where I think I was on Ed's podcast for a few times, and then eventually they were like, okay, fine, do you want your own podcast? and that's effectively how it all happened, really. It's a really nice organic thing.
So you were saying that you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, if you're such a super fan, then why didn't you get this right or this right? And this is something we were talking about a bit before we started recording. But
yeah,
like people pointing out stuff in, you know, the book that you co-wrote with Alex. And also like your podcast seems to draw out and encourage pedantry in fans, which yeah. of course, Taskmaster and the fandom thrives on. What's the most surprising or memorable like fan discovery or like, well, actually moment that you've encountered?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. Oh man, I really should have thought about that. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but people do it all the time, which is really, I sort of joke about it on the internet. I felt like I'm about 60 years old. The internet, you know, the internet. But like I sort of say online, like, you know, people correct me all the time, and it's great for my self-esteem. It is actually, because it's really nice, and it's nice to be really engaged with it. Mm-hmm. It's nice and pointless in a way. And I think it's quite fun to just sort of engage in something or treat something very seriously that is super dumb.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I think there was one that I said, I've got two. One was, so I do my little end of episode after each episode now. So I've changed how I used to do like threads on Twitter, to sort of say like, this is what happened in the episode, what have you. And I changed because don't like Twitter anymore, obviously. But also it was quite good, like spoilers. It was quite, I heard a lot of people being like, just spoiling the show for me, which is entirely fair. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking about that. So now I do like a little article that has all the facts and figures. But last series I said something like, this is the first time that someone's brought in a ticket as a prize task, for a prize task. And there were so many people who got so angry so quickly because they were like, well, actually this person brought in a ticket, a plane ticket counts as a ticket, doesn't it, Jack? And I had to be like, yes, but I'm talking about it. I think it was Emma Siddy bringing in, a thing for Ron Jovi, a ticket for Ron Jovi.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's the first tickets that's been brought in. Mm-hmm. And people were like, well, technically, actually, Alice Levine brought in an underground ticket. And I was like, well, that wasn't a ticket, that was a travel card. And then people were like, the travel card is a ticket, Jack. And like that kind of debating. I say debating, it's not really debating, mostly just shouting at me, is I really enjoy just because the idea that people are sort of arguing about this kind of thing is really funny to me.
It's a show about pedantry.
I think that when we did the book signing with Alex. So for the Absolute Casserole book, which came out last year, we did a book signing, and it was really nice. So people are so lovely, so much fun. And obviously, you know, people are I'm under no illusion that most people are there to see Alex, mm-hmm. because Alex is the creator and he's a genius. And like, I'm under no illusion that people aren't going to be like, it's Jack. It's oh my goodness, Jack's here. There were some people who were like that and it was great. But for the most part, obviously Alex, but there was someone who came up and was like, oh my goodness, I've read the book and I really like it. Can I get you to sign it? And I was like, oh sure, I'll sign it. And then they sort of said, and look on this page here, can I just check? Did you say that John Kearns threw a toilet roll into the toilet from a big distance at Gatwick Airport? And I was like, yeah, I think I said that. I said, well, it's wrong, it's a bin. And then they stormed off. I was like, okay. Again, I really like that level of pedantry. I like it.
Oh my gosh.
Find the errors in find the errors in mm-hmm. the book.
Yeah.
And I'll give you no money, but I'll enjoy it. Really.
That's good. Because I feel like that has a like the how you're reacting to it is really good, because I feel like a lot of people would be like, no, don't attack me.
Well, I think what is fun about Taskmaster is the idea of taking something very, you have to take it seriously, because that's the whole point of the show. You can't come in and be like, well, I don't really care, or like, oh, it doesn't really matter actually. But like, you have to take it seriously, but also like, you have to be aware at all times that what we're doing here is what I am doing by analyzing the show is entirely pointless. There is no like there is nothing here that is like useful, but I think that I find that very funny, and the fact that I've gotten away with doing it for so many people is like, it feels like a bit like a cheat. And therefore, when people sort of go like, well, actually it's this, I never feel attacked. I sometimes feel annoyed, mm-hmm. and like occasionally they'll be not annoyed at them, well, yeah. a bit annoyed at them, whoever's pointed it out, but mostly annoyed at myself, where I'm like, well, obviously, how could you forget about I was one recent which is like Richard Osman giving a task to, I said like, this is the first time someone's turned up, was the Nish turning up in Jason's task, mm-hmm. in series 19. It's the first time anyone's turned up since, I think I said, since Al Murray turned up in Joe Lycett's, and then someone was like, well, actually it was Richard Osman in series 7.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, where I'm like, I should get that. Right. I should have that information. And then you take a step back and go like, no, I shouldn't. There's no real reason why you should have that information. And also I had a conversation with someone recently who isn't like in Taskmaster, who's just like a friend in comedy. And they sort of mentioned, oh yeah, I love, we were talking about like where we were used to live in London, and I said, oh, I used to live like around Shepherd's Bush, Chiswick kind of area. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, it's a great area. And I was like, yeah. Plus it has the obviously the Taskmaster house, but also the baby gap that Mel Gedroich ran into in series 4. And they looked at me really blankly, and I was like, yeah, I don't need this information, really.
Right.
I don't need to be giving it out to anyone. But yeah.
It's good fun. Just making,
it is good fun.
Making
it's
spreadsheets
all good
is
fun.
So much fun. And like I do
find spreadsheets very therapeutic now, I will say.
Yeah.
Which is such a terrible thing to say. But it's just very like looking at a big thing of numbers and being like, what if you took that one away? What if you took this thing away? Mm-hmm. What would that mean? Like I find that quite addictive. I think now I've been doing the Taskmaster spreadsheet for so long that I associate spreadsheets with pointlessness.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way I sort of the idea of putting a spreadsheet in and being like, oh, this is important for, you know, like, oh, this tells me actual information that I would need to get to be a human. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like, why would I do a spreadsheet? Spreadsheets are silly. Spreadsheets are for being dumb and so you know, saying this is how many points Manya Chihuahua got in prize toss. That's not what a spreadsheet's for.
Yeah.
I say this, and I think Morgan's just said that there are 130 columns in the Taskmaster spreadsheet right now, and that's disgusting, actually. That's a horrific number of spreadsheet columns. I will say a lot of those, I'm like, I'll not dead columns. I'm just that some things are like I don't we don't need that anymore. Like mm-hmm. that's not one of the important ones. That one could go, but you can't get rid of it because that's the whole point. You can't nothing. Yeah.
That's my favorite column. My favorite column is have they been on ghosts?
Well, so the Taskmaster spreadsheet has become unwieldy. So have they been on ghosts was one of the most recent ones because people pointed out that actually quite a lot of the people have been on ghosts. Obviously Matt is the first contestant to have been on ghosts and actually won, whereas everyone else is sort of the previous ghost person who was closest was Jess Napper, who was 1 point away from winning.
Yeah,
who would have been a ghost champion.
Or if you count Kyle, who was in a champion of champions, but not technically a winner.
I can't begin to say that, because then that implies that all at the first start, like the series of Taskmaster, don't matter. It's like qualifying to be in the champion of champions, which I can't get behind. Yeah. I can't get behind that
that's
logic.
Fair. But that's fair.
But I do understand it. I do respect it.
Yeah.
I think I like that column. I think I was really expecting there to be more, and obviously there wouldn't, because there have been 95 contestants and like actually 8 contestants have been on ghosts. But like often it's the columns that have like big swathes of nothing, mm-hmm. and then like yes, it's sort of those are the more frustrating columns. Like I haven't updated the Greg's Book of Quotes recently.
Yeah.
Which I should update. I'm going to do a new one, I think, in between series 19 and series 20. Which was going to be number of times contestants say fuck, because I found it fascinating this series. It's just oh, and also Morgan's made a good point. I haven't updated the handedness one for quite a while.
Yeah, I did notice because that.
I know. I think what it is because it's really hard to find footage of comedians writing, mm-hmm. I find, or the relevant people writing before the series, and then I forget to do it midway through the series, and now because usually there's always at least one task where they start writing, mm-hmm. so it should be very easy to do, but I haven't, and someone called me out on it recently, and I should do it again.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have a games section for you in a bit, and literally one of my questions was how many contestants were also in Ghosts, and you said 8, and that's correct. So I'm gonna delete that question.
I'm currently, so we've just recorded our big stats update, like for the end of series 19, mm-hmm. our big stats thing with Jenny. We recorded it earlier today, so I feel like I'm extra like wired. I'm extra on it,
right.
Only in certain sections, but I love certain facts. Yes. I will be terrible at that game, by the way. I will be properly terrible. Well, I'm excited for how bad I'll be.
Yes, it's gonna be good. I watched all of Taskmaster except for series 19 before I watched Ghosts, and I finally got around to watching Ghosts last year, I think. And because I had I don't think I had heard of it even, but it kept popping up on my, like, you'll like this. And I'm like, okay. And so I finally watched it. And man, the amount of times that I was like, wait, I know that person from Taskmaster. Yeah. I was like, hold on a second.
8 times, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. And so when they announced the people coming on for series 19, I actually knew two of the people that were going to be on, because Jason, obviously.
Of course.
And then Matt. And I was so excited, because normally I have no clue who any of the people are.
That's fascinating.
Like, as an American, didn't know who Dara was, didn't know who Julian Clary was, which, like, as a queer person, I feel very upset at myself for this.
I mean, I think it's so, because you do, like, I knew who Julian, I've seen, like, Julian's act and seen Julian, like, doing, like, panto stuff. He's done a lot of panto stuff recently as well, but like I feel like with Taskmaster you do just get to see a completely different side to people as well. So like I feel like especially with and actually, to be honest, it's true of Jenny as well. I think you sort of, everyone had a kind of like thing of like, oh, that's who, you know, Julian Clary does like you know, panto and does sort of like you know, was famous in the 80s and 90s, and I think seeing that side of him was really interesting, and sort of seeing like a different world, really. So I think that's completely legitimate. I feel like Taskmaster is a good way in.
I'm excited for series 20 But
do you know anyone from Series 20?
I don't know any of the lineup.
Oh yeah. Man, they're a real good bunch. I mean, yeah, you got I'm sure you've had people talk about how great they are, but like, yeah. I'm so excited to see what they're like. I think the person I'm most excited, well, Rishia Smith's going to be mad. Well, it's going to be it's just such a strange like get in a way, because he's. By all accounts, like fairly grumpy man, which is going to make it quite fascinating to see how he does it. And like, and obviously Steve's just been on the show as well, so it'll be really interesting. And then like Sanjeev Bhaskar is I remember growing up watching Kumar's at number 42, and goodness gracious me, and like, and now he's like a legitimate actor on ITV dramas, so it's just so strange that he's like, yeah, I'll do Taskmaster. it's brilliant. And then like, yeah, Anya Magliano, like she's this massive star in Edinburgh now, like coming up and being like winning, I think, nominated best newcomer. And Maisie Adam, who is like one of she's just been doing the comedy circuit for so long now, she's like one of the mainstays. And then Phil Ellis, who's like one of the weirdest comedians on currently. It's just I think it will be a really, I mean, I say this to someone who has no like, I have no insider knowledge about what has happened in series 20. But
right.
I'm fascinated by it, and more stats, always good for more stats. Something yes. weird will happen, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was excited because I looked them all up and I knew none of them. Like I Googled all of them and I was like, yeah, I definitely don't know who this is. But then I was going through my listen of the Off Menu podcast, trying to catch up. I'm finally caught up with all of the episodes, so many.
Oh god.
And she was the next on my list. And I was like, hey, okay, now I can listen to this and with the brain of like, she's gonna be on Taskmaster. And I thought she was hilarious. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. But man, why do they have so many episodes?
I know. I'll be honest, like I really like Off Menu, but the number of episodes has just terrified me.
Yeah.
So to the point where I'm like, I will dip in and be like, I really love this episode. This is fantastic. Oh my god, Sue Perkins is saying the most disgusting story I've ever heard. And then I will forget about it and then come back and it'll be like, you've got 75,000 episodes to listen to. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I can't do this. But I love it. It's Ed and James. A confusing pair of mad people.
I love them. Them together is like the cutest, just most wholesome, weirdly wholesome thing.
Weirdly wholesome. Although, yeah, just sort of the bubbling, the repressed bubbling rage of Ed Gamble is always fun to it's always fun to enjoy.
Yep.
Versus the chaos of James. Oh, they're a good bunch. They're a good bunch. Did you see James at Glastonbury? I haven't seen any of the footage, but apparently it was very fun. They did a Taskmaster at Glastonbury.
I did see snippets of the Taskmaster stuff. So I saw James singing one song, I think. Like, and then sliding down the banister and then like face planting into a bunch of people.
Yes, good. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I should be counting. I shouldn't. I don't know if I should be doing stats on Glastonbury. I feel like that. I feel it's like tricky. That extends it out into the world. I can't be doing that.
Yeah. Because then you'd have to be doing like school tasking stuff, and
this is the thing. Like I considered doing Junior Taskmaster, and then I was like, this is getting weird.
Yeah,
I can't start like saying this 11-year-old is not very good at prize tasks. You're like, nah, I don't know. That seems a bit mean.
Oh yeah, thing.
Yeah, Basil Brush. Okay, yeah, you guys are probably baffled by that. Yeah, Basil Brush.
I was like, look at this fox puppet, and people were like, it's Basil Brush. I'm like, okay.
This is the thing I find really interesting, because I like have this a little bit while watching Taskmaster Australia or New Zealand, where they'll be like, oh, obviously there's Flungos McGee, and you'll be like, it'll be like, oh, we all know Flungos McGee, obviously, right. And I'll be like, I don't know who that is.
Yep.
But like, it must be constant in if you're an American watching Taskmaster.
Oh yeah,
it must be
Mr. Blobby. I don't like that thing. I don't trust that thing.
I don't know. I don't like him either. I'll be honest. I think I talk to Alex. Alex at one point said to me, "We've got Mr. Blobby in the next series," and I was like, "Oh,
oh, oh no. Cool! Oh. I'm so happy for you."
I'm so that's great. It was nice that it came out of the fact that it wasn't the fact that Joanne really liked Mr. Blobby, but right. It was just a nice coincidence that Joanne was obsessed with Mr. Blobby.
Yeah,
but it was Sophie, one of the production team, really liked Mr. Blobby, and so I think that's what inspired it as well. But it's weird. I will say it's a bit weird because Taskmaster is its own world, so very much its own world that kind of doesn't seem to be like connected to other cultural things, or rather, if there are other cultural things, it's brought in by other contestants. So like other contestants will bring in like albums or things that they enjoy, and they're kind of like put through the Taskmaster, like, you know, they're churned through the machine that is Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Mr. Blobby was a weird one because you're like, why is Mr. Blobby here?
Yeah.
Like it's like Alex's obsession with Noel Edmonds is really like, I don't know, again, who is obviously connected at wide. I don't know if you know, Noel Edmonds is very much connected to Mr. Blobby. Noel Edmonds would do Noel's house party and Mr. Blobby would turn up and be an agent of chaos. You could be the star of it. And so Mr. Blobby and Noel Edmonds, who since, he's a bit of a weird guy. He did Deal or No Deal.
Okay.
And it kind of turned into a cult under him, I maintain. Noel Edmonds is not the same as Noel Fielding. It's a different Noel Morgan. Morgan's just very, very different people. I mean, fundamentally, maybe not actually. They're both quite odd. But the, like, there are weird things in Taskmaster where like suddenly like Alex will say, well, like when he, the types of people he measures, like, you know, whenever he sort of like, I've measured this task in, and occasionally he'll just bring like a contestant out of no, like not contestant, like a celebrity out of nowhere,
right?
That's odd. I find that odd as well, when I'm sort of like, but that's not part of the world that you created. Did that person exist within this world? Oh.
Right, yeah.
I have too much spare time to think about these things. The problem is I don't have too much spare time to think about these things, but I force myself to think about these things anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back really quick to the topic of spreadsheets. Because this does...
You think there are people listening being like, they gotta get back to spreadsheets.
Well, here's the thing, is that we've been talking about how Taskmaster is this like kind of its own universe, right? But why do you think that Taskmaster fans are so frequently also spreadsheet people? Because there's a lot of people that live a good spreadsheet in the Taskmaster fandom. And it's like, is that on purpose? Or like, why do you think that is? As the owner of potentially the largest Taskmaster spreadsheet.
I mean, look, I like your use of potentially there. I mean, I feel like if it's got 130 columns, God, that's an upsetting number of columns. I've really got to question what I'm doing with my life when it comes down to that. I think that there is a sort of joy in attempting to order chaos. And I think that's what a spreadsheet is trying to do. Like most people who have spreadsheets are trying to bring order to life, which is chaotic. And I think that Taskmaster is effectively a macro version of that. And it's sort of a version of what am I trying to say? It's that there is no, there's a joy that comes from trying to bring order to stuff that doesn't make any sense. But also there's a kind of joy in competing in something that doesn't make sense, or that you know, that has illogical rules, but you can sort of pass the rules if you're really like, if you try and work it out, and that you can then have points like that are added or taken away based on that. The comparison really would be like a show like Mock the Week or Would I Lie to You, or Have I Got News for You. These are sort of panel shows in the UK, which are very much the rule, the thing is like, oh, the points don't matter. The points is really just a structure to get from like point A to point B. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you ask a question in the news quiz, which I did quite a lot of stuff for Radio 4. Like you would ask a question and then they would just arbitrarily like, you know, give you points at the end of it. And it just provides structure. And I think that Taskmaster is kind of the opposite of that, in the sense that like the points don't matter, because no matter what, no one's going to get taken off the show. No one's going to get taken away. You're not going to, like, you don't have to qualify for the next round, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives everything stakes. And I feel like that's a similar thing as to why, like, that's why I think people like the spreadsheets thing. I think that it attracts people who like spreadsheets because it gives stakes to watching it in a weird way. Like, you can just watch it and enjoy it, but you can also enjoy, like, watch it and be like, okay, we can work out who's the best at this and who's the, and like, and because the contestants sort of care, but they don't really care, you can kind of sort of care, but not really care. I think it's sort of, for me at least, I find it provides an outlet to like just trying to bring some kind of order to comedy. And I think that's the appeal, really. There's a kind of logic to it. And I think that's probably why. I don't know. Have I explained that particularly well? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where if the points don't matter, obviously, because it's not really about that, but that they do also matter because of the, like, the super narrative of the show where Greg gives someone 5 points who hasn't been doing very well. That creates its own narrative within there. And I think that spreadsheets are sort of a version of that while watching the show. They sort of bring you an extra thing of being like, that person got 5 points and that means they're higher up on the spreadsheet than they were before. Or like that changes the table somehow, which is sort of what you're watching in the show as well, in a weird way. I think there are parallels to the spreadsheets, yeah, to the show, to the thing you're watching. Yeah, there we go. I think I agree with what I've just said.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think having some semblance of control over making and maintaining a spreadsheet in the midst of this insanity that doesn't make any sense is kind of, yes, grounding in a little, in a certain way.
I think so. And I think also, like, life is very chaotic and the show is very chaotic and, like, comedy is quite chaotic. And I think that, like, there is something quite having rules of being like not rules that are like, not rules to comedy, but like rules of sort of saying like, that was really funny, but they're not going to get any points because they've broken that rule.
Yeah.
It kind of gives, as you say, it sort of gives a level of being able to sort of, it gives a handle on it. And I think that's what the spreadsheets also do for a lot of people who are watching it. It gives like a handle on being able to watch it. Because I find often, like, you know, when you sort of watch things and you're like, what actually am I watching here? Like, what is actually going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite easy to work out with Taskmaster because it's very structured.
Mm-hmm.
It's structured chaos.
Yeah.
And that's, I think yeah, it goes back to that thing of like spreadsheets bring a not actually any level of control, but they bring the semblance of control to what you're watching.
Yeah. It's funny that earlier you said like, I'm never gonna get into that fanfic stuff, because half of what you've said during this podcast so far, I've been so like been able to relate to be like, yeah, it is a world that doesn't make any sense in universe, and that's why we have to transform this work of something into something that does make sense. And so it's really funny because every like point you bring up, I'm like, yeah, that's what being a fanfic writer is like.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. I feel bad. I don't want to be like, I'll never, you're the way of life of fanfic. I feel like there is a lot of, you know, you can sort of, people can look down on fanfics and sort of, there's probably like there's a cultural sense of, and also, you know, often when you say fanfic, you think immediately sexual.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really what it is at all. Like, I think, yeah, you're right. It's sort of world building or trying to create a world, or, as you say, trying to create, what's the word? It is trying to create, like, it's trying to work through, I suppose, illogical decisions a lot of the time, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose a lot of, would I be right in saying that? Like, a lot, yeah, of fanfic is trying to make sense of, if something didn't make sense when you watched it, you can kind of be like, well, I'm going to rewrite that or give a, you know, a headcanon which makes more sense, and therefore try to, like, you're trying to sort of in a way fix story problems that you've noticed.
Yeah, because a lot of what a lot of what Greg and Alex do and say in the show is that they'll, the stuff that they do a lot of the times, doesn't make sense in the lore or in the universe that they've created, because they'll be like, well,
sure,
you know, the assistant is this person that like Greg hates, but then also like, but Greg really loves him secretly, but also like he's actually in charge of the whole show, but like he's actually not, he's just the assistant, you know. And so there's a lot of contradictory things that happen within Taskmaster that is just really fun to try to kind of explain in a way that is just, you write creatively about it, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
and they seem to like it somehow, so that probably helps, that they're like, we like this.
Well, I mean, it is like as you say, like it is sort of, I guess that is a lot of what writing is about, is trying to, it's not reactive, but it's trying to kind of create worlds from sort of randomness in a lot of ways. I guess you're kind of trying to, you're bashing up against the reality of the world, and you kind of then have to justify, you have to build the world around it to suit the, if you're trying to write something that feels relevant to the modern times, you kind of have to like retroactively go, okay, what does that actually mean for this thing that's just happened now? Mm-hmm. Not like rewriting to be like to you know, to be satirical or to sort of change or to be topical, as it were, but still to try to find like what's the zeitgeist. And I guess actually that's quite a similar thing in this, where suddenly someone like if Greg and Alex suddenly change how their relationship works, you then have to sort of retrofit the world to suit that. Yeah. I mean do you find it frustrating when they suddenly change the nature of their relationship? It feels like this series Greg has been at pains to point out that he and Alex are actually friends.
Right. I mean, but then you've got the series or the episode 10 banter section where they renew their wedding vows. So like there's that, right? And you're like, what are we supposed to do with this? You know? So it's like, obviously there's so many things that, again, that are just contradictory to each other, where it's like, okay, well now they're renewing their vows, and now Greg is saying they're just friends, and now he's calling him Sweet Cheeks. Like, we can't keep up with this. Like what's happening? So I personally don't find it very frustrating, because at this point we kind of know that we're gonna do that. Yeah, and Morgan is pointing out, like, where were the vows first given? We never saw that. What, like, we don't have history of that happening.
That should be the most important like moment in Taskmaster history, the marriage episode, but apparently we don't have it.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
We've had throw Alex the best stag, and we've had the wedding dance task.
Yep.
But we haven't
proposed to Alex.
Yeah, proposed to Alex. Proposed
Alex in the most irresistible way.
Yes. So.
So yeah, there is a little narrative going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Morgan's pointed out there was a duck marriage again. Noel Fielding, in series 4, there was a duck marriage. But that's not. I mean, we need Alex getting married to Greg for this to work. We need Alex getting married to Greg.
Yep.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for trying to make their, because they are just throwing out nonsense. And also, like, it's interesting in a way, because not only you kind of, you know, you're going based on like some improvisation, but based on what, you know, Greg is saying to Alex or what Alex is saying to Greg, but also you kind of got the difficult thing of Greg will write his own intros,
right,
where he casts Alex in
as this horrible, horrible person,
horrible man. Yeah. And then you've got Alex writing the intros for Greg, which are deliberately designed to annoy Greg, and then Greg reacting to that. So there are so many different like things at play, that like it feels to build some consistency into that feels bananas to me.
Yeah. I mean, this series, we also got something that Greg is putting in his live shows right now, that he's touring, which is he leans in because, you know, Alex is like, oh, there's only one cure for hiccups, so I guess you got to whisper your secrets into my ear. And then Greg just goes, there's a part of me that wants to fuck you. And like, how are we not supposed to take that? Like, there's no way that we can take that in anything other than what he's saying. And he says that like in his stand-up shows right now. Like, that's a talking point that he brings up. Wow. And it's just like, why would you say that?
Well, I mean, but at a certain point, are you not just writing the biography of Greg Davis, really, when it comes down to it?
Yeah.
You're just writing, you're sort of making manifest what he thinks like within himself. It's an impossible task, really.
It is.
You've set yourself the impossible task.
Yes. And the only way to figure it out is to have him come on the podcast so I can ask him about it. But
ask him directly
and
say, please, you have to tell me.
Inquiring minds need to know. But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous what those two get up to.
I feel your pain. I have similar things with the scoring system, but it's not the same thing at all.
Yeah.
But yeah,
no,
you're trying to work through the psyche of Greg Davies. I'm trying to work through the fact that he's giving out like fives more often than he should.
Yeah.
We have the same problem.
Yeah. Now, do you, because obviously you're much closer to, you know, the place where they film the studio records than like I am here in America. So have you gone to any studio records? And if so, how many have you gone to?
I've been to three and a half, I would say, as in I did in series 15, I went to see a recording of series 15 with producer Ben, as it was in the podcast, when we did like a behind the scenes thing for the podcast, which we never actually released, to be honest. We did this thing, and I think the problem was we were always going to be like, you know, this is for the build up for series 15, but because I think I can't remember why, but we never got a chance to release it before it came out in series 15. I think because some of the things that we wanted to talk about happened in the episode, and we wanted to kind of like reference it as it went out, and then it was already gone by the time that, as in like, we couldn't do it afterwards because it had already happened. So it's a very strange thing, but I went and it was really good. It was brilliant, actually. It was episode 7, which is the one where everyone does an impression of Jenny. It's so funny, and it was one of my favorite things I've watched on like live, I would say. And then I also went to the most recent one. I went to watch both episode 9 and episode 10 of series 40, series 19, which was, oh man, it was really, really funny. But I remember being like in task 2, and also because I have two small children, and so we're very tired, but my wife and I went with my wife Valerie, and my parents came over to babysit, and we sort of trekked over to West London. We're like, this is gonna be really, really good, and we were loving it. And like within like two tasks, we were like, I'm loving this, but I have the biggest headache in the world.
Tired.
Because you are just like, it's so exciting and so much fun. It's like, we'd also like, we weren't sure what the food situation was, so we had eaten a lot beforehand, and midway through a food coma,
right?
But it was really, really good. But it was just kind of surreal to watch, because also it was the Jason Nish episode, which is just such a bizarre, so you're sort of watching it, be like, what is going on? Who are these people? How has this happened? And I think, like Alex has said it before, like, it's very strange for an audience to just turn up at the end and be like, there we go, that was fun, wasn't it? Because you don't know what what has happened in the series before, like all the in jokes or all the extra, like the things that are built as it goes on. But it was brilliant. It was so if you ever get a chance to go, obviously. I mean, it's fantastic.
They're
now recording in a slightly more central location, because they're no longer recording at Pinewood. Series 21 will be from, I think, from BBC Studios. So yeah, fascinating,
exciting. Yeah And those two episodes that you went to, that was when Jason had like a stomach bug or something.
I was unsure how much I was able to talk about that, but he was not feeling particularly well. I mean, you wouldn't have known. It was only afterwards when I was talking to Stevie, where she was like, yeah, he was not well.
Yeah.
He was not well in that episode. Like, and I think he was just kind of like, he I don't know what it was. He just didn't, you could sort of tell while he was on stage and while he was performing, he was perfect. He was brilliant. But then when he was like, as soon as the camera go off, he would kind of go, Jason. But I think Alex was like, it, not like, I'm glad he's sick, but there was a little bit where he was like, I'm kind of, you know, he's been quite intense in a way. I don't mind sick Jason. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they had Emma Siddy as a backup if he was going to not be. Oh,
that's cool. Yeah,
she was gonna turn up.
Well, I'm glad he got through it. Yeah,
I'm glad as well, because I think it would have been, especially the final episode, such a shame
that's rough
to miss out on that. Yeah. Poor Jason though. He did a great job.
Yeah.
Great job.
I mean, I don't think you'd be able to tell watching it, except for the fact that, because Stevie put up on her Instagram, she'd do like Instagram lives and debrief the episode kind of thing. And she was saying like Jason was super sick. And so the reason that I didn't celebrate during our team task win was so that he would be okay. And so when you watch it back, Stevie's like, high five. And I'm like, wow, yeah. Stevie doesn't seem excited about this win. Yeah. But then you get the context and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because I think that if it had been normal Jason, because that was also the other thing, was people were like, my God, it must have been so great to see Jason like throw stuff around. And it was like, it was great. But also like, I feel like the one when he won episode 6, I think it was it 6? No, 5. When he won episode 5, he went crazy.
Yeah.
He was out being like, USA! Just throwing things all about the place. Whereas here, it was a little bit more like, I'll just throw that, and I'll throw that, and here are the... And, oh, the other thing, I don't know if there's probably footage of this as well in the recording. There was a big thing with it kept on coming through to Greg's headpiece. Whenever Jason was throwing they were about to throw the jelly, they said, that was the one where he did the jelly, the Aisling bees, jelly boobs.
Yeah.
There was apparently, it kept on going through to like the Andes were there being like, do not put the jelly, do not let Jason put the jelly in his mouth. He cannot put the jelly in his mouth, which is wonderful. And I feel like if it had been like full steam ahead Jason, he would have put the jelly in his mouth.
Yeah.
It would have been disgusting, but he would have put the jelly in his mouth. So yeah, it's interesting. I've never met Jason. I feel like he must be an absolute whirlwind, but he seems like such a lovely guy as well. So.
Yeah. And I love that him and Nish already have this running joke of like we look like each other, because there's been that picture posted of them at a Halloween party together
picture,
and the like when they did it this for the task, I was like screaming. I was like, this is amazing, this is the best thing ever.
It was watching it live. It was very much, it sort of took a while for me to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite, I just thought that thing would be like, huh? Uh-huh. so good. And also just the fact that it's Nish.
Yes.
Like, Nish is back. Nish is back in the Taskmaster house.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a great thing. I think it's something really nice about the fact that Jason's definitely, it didn't feel like, I sort of talk about this in the mega Taskmaster thing that we're going to do for the People's Podcast, so whenever that comes out, like it didn't feel like Jason just sort of, I think there's always a chance if you've the narrative they've created is basically, or that's been said is that Jason loves the show, called up and said, can I be on it, and then they said yeah sure. I think that kind of undersells the fact that Jason like knows British comedy and like really respects British comedy and like has friends within British comedy, and was like fully like, obviously he's going to play the dumb American at times as part of the joke,
right?
Because that's obviously the joke that you play, but like he's also very like, he knows who, he's not going to be like, who's Nish Kumar, who's this, that, the other. He's going to know everyone because he seems like a bit of a completionist. He's the kind of guy who will like take this seriously, which, wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Okay, we're gonna move on to our games section.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so the game is called Without Looking at Your Spreadsheet.
Oh no.
All right, here we go. So you've already answered one that, which was the ghosts one, which was my favorite.
Okay.
So you've already ding. Morgan, write that down. 1 point already.
Now 1 point I'm gonna get.
Yes. Okay, so here we go. Which series had the most tasks?
Oh gosh, it is either series 6 or 7. And I think I'm going to go with 6 because they seem to go a bit mad. And they packed away. Yes, there we go. Yeah, 6.
Yes.
There we go. Hooray, good.
Yes.
That's the reason Lisa Tarbuck had for quite a while like the highest points tally, despite the fact that she didn't actually score that many points with regards to the number of tasks.
Nice.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Next, 3 people are tied for the most points for prize tasks. Can you name them all?
Oh yeah, don't worry. Again, this is just because we're doing the research recently. Because for a while it looked like Matt was going to overtake all of them, but he fell away a bit.
He did, yeah.
As the Jason bit, just sad, but still. Moana is one.
Mm-hmm.
Desiree Birch.
Yep.
And Steve Pemberton.
Oh, I'm not going to get any of these right, he says.
Yeah. Usually with Askmaster, we used to do that on the podcast. We had to stop doing it because people were too good.
Yeah.
And I was being embarrassed all the time. There'll still be more that I get wrong. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, this next one seems like you'll get this really easily, but who earned the most points during live tasks over the entire show?
Oh, hang on. Okay. What points per task or points?
Live tasks.
So just
live task points.
Live task Dara.
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. Because it could have. I'm so sorry that I'm now. Saying it out loud makes me realize how much of my life has been dedicated to doing this.
Yeah.
But like, if it was points per task, Catherine's the winner. But that's because that's because of the rabbit's task, and that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Good,
okay.
Good.
All right. Morgana Robinson won the most bonus points ever on Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. How many bonus points did she get?
Oh God, it's so sad that I don't know the answer to this. It's 9?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Because every time I scroll past that, I go, that's a lot of bonus points.
Yeah, it is a lot of bonus points. Maybe do a double take. Yeah.
Controversial bonus points, I'll say.
Yeah. Okay, who had the lowest ever episode score?
Oh, it's Mel Gedroych with 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could not believe when I saw that. I was like, whoa, that's awful.
That's because of the minus points. So it's not. She got -5 for eating some chocolate.
Right.
So it's bad.
That's harsh.
It would be 8. It's harsh. It's real. They've sort of stopped doing that.
Yeah.
They now do like -1 or 2. I think -5 is maybe me.
That's a
but
lot.
It's also funny.
Yeah. Those were early days though. So. Okay. Maybe you won't get this one.
Okay.
How many contestants over the 19 series can speak another language?
Oh, I'm definitely not going to get this because that is one of those things that I have that I put down for a podcast thing and then forgot about entirely. Oh, okay. Oh, God. Over the 19 series,
mm-hmm.
I reckon it can't be more than 17?
Ooh, it is more than 17.
Ooh, okay.
But only is just...
19?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It's won a series.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Really
good
close.
To know.
Yeah. All right. Which contestant was born on New Year's Eve?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, no. Oh, that's a good question. Again, that's one of those ones I put in and then forget about entirely. New Year's Eve. Oh, God. Can you give me a range of series?
I can give you a hint in that she definitely seems like she would be a party person.
Oh, God. I can only think of Morgana because we just mentioned Morgana. It's not Morgana. A party person. Oh, gosh. I don't know. This is really frustrating. I'm going to go with... It's not Lou. It's not Jenny. I think it's, no, it's not Jenny. It's not Rose Mastafeu. That's wrong.
It's Susan Wacoma.
Oh yeah. I feel like she probably has quiet nights in, is what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Quiet nights in.
I think she would be awesome to party with.
Oh, I think she'd be awesome to party with, but I also think that if you said to Susan Wacoma, would you like to stay in for New Year's Eve? I think she'd be like, yes, please.
Oh,
100%. I feel like that's the vibe I get from Susan Wacoma in a good way. And that's my kind of New Year's Eve, I will say as well.
Yeah, same. All right, last question.
Okay.
Have there been any series where all the names are unique?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, apart from the first series. No. Oh, wait, across the whole... Okay, I see what you mean. I'm going to say No.
There's one.
There's one. There's one series. Mm-hmm. Okay, hang on. Oh, is it 15? No, I don't know what it is then.
Series 7.
Yeah. James, there's only been one James. Yep. That seems mad. Is mad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that mad?
It does seem like James should be a more common name.
Everyone should be saying the name James.
Yeah.
And like Jess is quite common as well.
Yeah.
No offense to Jess. But yeah, James and Jess are not. Phil's pretty common. And actually, that's no longer true. From series 20, no longer true.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you've got to update your spreadsheet.
I will update my spreadsheet. And I will make sure that there is no longer a unique name. I'm not, Morgan, I'm not discrediting the stat. The stat was absolutely right. The stat is no longer correct as of series 20.
Yes.
And that's only just been announced, therefore.
Yeah.
But yeah, because Phil Ellis.
We'll cut you some slack. Yes.
Yeah, let's cut everyone some slack.
Yes. Okay, we only have a few more relatively chill questions.
Cool.
So let's just go on. But congratulations, you've won the game section. And you'll get a little trophy on our website next to your name.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so how long does it take you to write your weekly articles?
Oh, too long. I keep saying it should be really, really quick. And this series, I always start by being like, it's going to be like a couple of hours. That'll be it. The problem is that often it'll be things that I need to do for the podcast. And therefore, I'll have a lot of facts that I'll need to get out. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just be like, oh, I'll just change that a bit. I would say it takes me, probably combined, maybe like, I don't know, 6 hours total, I guess. Oh, God, maybe a bit more. If I'm feeling slow, then about 8. But like, but that will be over like several evenings at this point.
Right.
Yeah. I also do write them at 4 a.m. They're not, absolutely nightmare. What is my life?
Yep. It's a good time. Do you have a favorite stat that you've ever done?
I like the fact that there are lots of vegan winners. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. It feels like a fun fact. Favorite stat that I've ever done. Oh, that's interesting. The problem is they always change. Whenever we do them on the podcast, they always then change, and then I have to then update them later on. I'm like, oh, that's no longer true.
Yeah.
So it becomes a bit difficult. I liked the fact that for a while, I don't know if this is still true, for a while, the best number of children to have was 2, because I felt like that was a logical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many, it feels like your brain would just be like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And 1, you can give all your attention to that child, whereas 2, it felt like, you've got to multitask. And that felt like a logical thing. And I think Sarah Kendall talked about that, where she was like, you got to go into parent mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like where she was like eating yogurt and being like, is that yogurt or is that bird poo? And it's that kind of thing where you're like, that's what you have to do as a parent as well. So I quite like that one, I'll mm-hmm. say.
Yeah, nice.
I've got to complete the multitask, that's right.
Yes. And then what is a fact or a data point that you wish you had but just somehow can't get?
I think, boringly, accurate heights would be a really good one. It's impossible to find out heights on the internet.
That's
because
true.
Everyone lies.
Yep.
And I've resorted recently to, and this is such a stupid thing, I've resorted to taking screenshots and like people whose height I know,
yeah,
I can then like use it as a Rosetta Stone and be like, that person is 1.7 meters, therefore that person. And I'm like, when I started doing that, I'm like, what's going on with my life?
Yeah.
The one I really want now, and this again, I'm aware, makes me sound like a stalker, and I say it on the other podcast, I'd like to know where everyone lives. because there was someone had a point about like the fact that Jason had to come from so far away mm-hmm. to go to the house, and like there was a thing about how Stevie had to like she had to have a hotel, and I wouldn't have thought she had to have a hotel. I would have thought that if she lives in the home county, she'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But actually she lives in Margate. So I would like, I don't need like exact postcodes,
yeah,
but I would like to know generally where everyone lives, so I could sort of find out, are you going to be better at particularly studio tasks, or even are you going to be better at like actually all tasks really, because
yeah,
how dependent on how close you are to the taskmaster house,
mm-hmm,
does that affect things?
Yeah,
that would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, travel time.
Yeah,
yeah,
travel time, that's what I need.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, are you So obviously, like, you're now very deep into the Taskmaster stats world. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned earlier that you kind of were like this excited about something else. I forget what it was at this point because
Bones.
Yes. So other than Taskmaster and Bones, do you get like this in depth with anything else?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I'm quite, I can really get into shows. If I really like shows, I try to work out why I like them or like what makes them unique. But it's sort of, it's a very fleeting, not very fleeting, but like it's the type of thing where like, so there'll be times where I just rewatch Frasier because I think Frasier might be the best sitcom ever to exist. I think it's just, I think it's genius. And I think that's quite a common like theory, but like I've written quite a lot of articles about it. Or like Peep Show, I watched all of Peep Show when I was trying to get my daughter to sleep in 2023, and just sort of really trying to work out why I do get into, if I like a show and I really want to get into it, I will try and like work out why I like it and what makes it unique, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I find that quite an interesting way of being able to like, as a writer, being able to be like, okay, why hasn't there been a different version of that kind of show? Or like, what makes it, I think it actually helps me as a writer as well. I'd like to think.
Yeah.
So I'd say most shows. Yeah. Frasier, The Simpsons, Parks and Rec, big one, like Spaced, lots of British show, Peep Show, like lots of British and American shows I will go into quite a lot of depth about. The problem always is that everyone's going to go into more depth. There'll always be someone who goes into more depth, but I want to find like the connections between things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of also why I like I like thinking about Taskmaster as like, not just as a game show and not just as like a statistical thing, but like as a, in a way, as a narrative comedy. It's also quite an interesting thing because it's artificially creating quite a lot of narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Not artificially, like it's real, as it were. But because it doesn't matter, there's also a narrative that you can kind of create as the show goes on. And I find that quite fascinating as well. And like, you know, there will be things that just like naturally like sitcom moments come out of Taskmaster, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Like Nish and like the way that Nish and Mark did their the way that they failed the whole series the whole way through, and then at the end they did Rosalind the always see you do cool stuff.
Yeah,
like that feels like a sitcom. That's almost like a sitcom episode. Like that is like the whole thing. It feels like a narrative comedy. I find that kind of stuff quite interesting as well. That didn't answer your question, but it's sort of that.
Good. Cool. All right, so we're going to wrap up here by asking, one, do you have anything going on that you want to promote? Can people find you on social media, etc.? I know you're on Blue Sky.
Yes, I'm on Blue Sky, and that's probably the best place to find me. I chat a lot. I won't stop chatting. I'm at jackburn.bluesky or .bsky.social. So follow me on there if you can. I also do Medium, so I'm on. I say I do Medium. I write my Taskmaster updates on Medium. Occasionally, if I have time, I will do like those deep dives into Frasier, Peep Show, Simpsons, other things like that. That's on there. I mean, I'm also a writer. There's a screenwriter, as it were. Horrible Science is a new series. If you're in the UK and you like science, I've written quite a lot of episodes of the new series of Horrible Science, and there will be more Horrible Science to come, hopefully next year. There's a Disney Plus show that I was the head writer on, which is hopefully coming out in 2026. So again, depending on when you're listening to this, the Sunny Ridge 3 is what it's currently called. That name may change.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Yeah, no. So I do a lot of strange stuff, but hopefully that will be good when it comes out because it's been a lot of my life for the past few years. And yeah, it's just that's sort of the nature of it, really, especially in animation. It's a lot of like waiting for the thing to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it does, you're an entirely different person to the one who actually wrote it. It's fascinating. Yeah. Really.
That's true. Cool. Yeah. All right. And we always end our episodes with, if asking if you have any kind of fan work recommendation from the Taskmaster fandom. So something like a piece of fan art or fan work. Ooh. I know you don't read fanfic, but
I don't read fanfic. I feel so bad about that now. I'm so sorry. I should go in and I meant the exclusively the Filthy Little Ferret stuff. I wanna clarify that immediately.
Yeah.
I there's a JG Adventure Zone. I don't know if you've talked to him before or I've seen him. I think JG Adventure Zone is the person who did like a Where's Wally style thing for the Taskmaster. Like there's some really cool pictures that he does, which is really cool. Rose Kimberly does a lot of amazing stuff.
Her
like
stuff is amazing. Yeah.
Incredible, really, really good. Lots of people message me with stats, and Morgan, in fact, Morgan has been doing a version of the horrifying spreadsheet, Morgan of this podcast. They've done stuff for Taskmaster New Zealand and Taskmaster Australia, and also a roundup of the best moments in Taskmaster New Zealand and Australia history. You should read that as well. Go on.
Sweet. Link it.
I would say, yeah. I mean, and also like there, yeah. There's just so much stuff out there. What a terrible thing to say. There's just so much stuff out there. Oh, I'm very tired. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. We've really enjoyed having you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been really, really, really fun.
Yay!
All right.
And once again, that was Jack Bernhardt and his massive stat spreadsheet. You can find Jack in the episode links. There's also an even longer cut of this episode on our Patreon, which you can also find in the episode description.